With Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
If you a man, all your buddies talking about what they're doing, who they're doing, then you go, boys brag.
Oh, yeah.
Then you look at her and she got curlers in her hair. She got a nightgown that's been, it's 20 years old. The J is gone out of the negligee. It's just a negler. You just neglecting that man. Negligee ain't got nothing but neglect in it. All he see is neglect. When he see you come out with that on, he say, ain't no fireworks here tonight. Some of y'all take your panties and wrap them around your head. You know that, nobody won't look at you with your panties around your head. Take your old drawers and wrap them around your head. Talk about, this is what I sleep in. You didn't do that when you was in first love. First love, you was in Victoria's Secret. And if you're a Christian, you were really secret. You wait till it's almost about to close before you go in there. Or early in the morning. We'll go in there before in a lot of people. I don't want nobody to see what I'm buying for my husband. Just me and him. This is this sacred thing between me and him. I'm gonna give him something gonna rock his world. You can't handle it? He can't. I tell you what, you go to the overflow room, ain't no video feed out there. We'll put the video feed, keep the volume down, you won't hear nothing, you just see people. He say he can't handle it. He's single though, you know, I understand, my boy, I understand. You're doing good though, Brandon, you're all right. I gotta be more aware, all right. Praise God. Y'all get the picture. Brandon say he can't handle it. He say he can't. Hey, somebody give him a fan. We need to get us a church fan. Cool off, boy. Cool off. In that new church we're gonna be in, we're gonna have some showers in there. Everybody can't handle it. We say they go to shower stall over. They go over there, cool off. Have some extra clothes in there, everything. She wanted to get a picture of me. Just time out. All right. Let's move on. Get some real strong. Excuse me. It's getting stronger. Look here. Keep the devil out of your relationship, okay? You got it?
Yes.
Keep your friends, them old friends, keep them out. want to hear their stories of their sin. Put it to them like this. Look, I don't want to hear about your sin. All right, next verse. What did it say? Let him that stole steal no more. Rather let him labor working with his hand the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that need it. What does that mean? It means to be a giver, not a taker. So you talk about stealing here is taking things. If you're going to have a good marriage, then you're going to have to be on the giving side more than you on the taking side. You got to learn how to give. You got to give. Purpose in your heart to outgive your spouse. Do it as unto the Lord, expecting nothing in return. Say, you know what? I'm just going to do what's pleasing God. I'm going to be a giver in this relationship. I'm not going to be all the time just looking what's in it for me. Yeah. Buy flowers, not expecting nothing. Do it because you love and appreciate it. You ain't got to want to say, I don't want nothing in return. I just want to let you know I love you. Be a giver, not a taker. Verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. That means don't verbal abuse your spouse. Don't be judgmental and critical with your words. Don't tear them down with your words. Use your words wisely to build up each other. Speak faith-filled words over your marriage. See, corrupt communication is not just all the time cussing. Corrupt communication is unbelief. Corrupt communication is complaining, murmuring, fault-finding. It says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. If you'll make this a principle in your marriage, that I'm going to build and I'm not going to tear down my mate. I'm going to speak the truth to him, but I'm going to do it in love. Means I ain't going to sugarcoat, but I'm going to always do it from a foundation of love and respect because you want to help that other person. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. And so a lot of times, you know, people will just tear one another up with their words. Tear each other down. Never encourage each other. You ain't no man. You ain't no woman. If you was a man of God, you did. If you was a woman of God, you did. And see, on and on and on. Just never. Just a constant drip. The Bible says it'd be better for you to live in the wilderness than with a nagging woman. You'd be better off building your tent out in the woods or living on the housetop. Just go up on the roof. Just get you a ladder. Go set up on the roof and somebody pass by and say, just point down and just say, it's hell in there right now. I'm better off up on the roof. Right? All right, verse 30. Y'all got it? You get the principle here? Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed in the day of redemption. Now, right in the middle of all this correction, he talked to you about the Holy Ghost. He said, now, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you how to live your life, but remember, the Holy Spirit is with you. He's the difference maker. Because he's going to reveal Jesus to you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't sadden him by having a nasty, selfish, rebellious attitude. Listen to his counsel. Say what he tells you to say and do what he tells you to do. If you don't, you'll grieve him. He'll give you words to speak over your marriage if you're asking. But I remember the time when Cece and I had been married long, and we wasn't arguing, didn't have a fuss or anything like that, but she just kind of shut down on communicating. She just wasn't herself. She wasn't talking. So I kept on asking her, what's the matter? Nothing. That's y'all's favorite line. Nothing. Nothing. I say, something wrong? I say, this not really you. Did I do something wrong? No. Did I say something wrong? No. Then what's wrong? Nothing. I say, something wrong here. Something wrong. So make a long story short, after about 3 days, I just couldn't take it. So I got up one night, got out of bed, and I went and sat out in the front room. And I said, now, Lord, I said, she was your daughter before she's my wife. I said, I don't know what's going on with your daughter. I need some help with that girl. And I started criticizing. You know, I said, she did. And then he said, yeah, and you do this, this, and that. And I said, I didn't come out here to talk to you about me. said, you need to make change. I said, I'm the one need change. You need to change. I said, okay, Lord, I'll take that. I'll do it. He said, now this is what's wrong with her. And he told me three things. And then I was overwhelmed because up to that point, I could not believe that God would be that intimate in a relationship to tell you specifically what the problem is. And I learned a lesson that day that it wasn't just me and Cece, that the Lord really was a part of our marriage and that I needed to keep him included in everything because I got somebody in my marriage who know everything about everything. Now, when people start listening to his counsel, they ain't gonna end up in divorce. See, when selfishness come in, look, I got to have my way. I need my life back. All right, selfishness destroy a lot of relationships. Self. But the love of God, see, when you start walking in love, you're not just concerned about you. It's about what's best for the other person. Amen. It's when people stop walking in the love of God that all this selfish stuff come in. And I went back and I told Cece, I said, Cece, I woke up. I said, Cece, you feel this way because it is. Yeah. I said, you feel this way because it is. Yeah. Y'all want to know what it is, don't I? I ain't telling you. By the time I got the third one out, she was in tears. She said, Greg, how did you know? I said, the Lord just told me what was wrong with you. She said, I wanted to tell you, I just didn't know how. And boy, I'm going to tell you, I said, Lord, thank you. And boy, that girl gave me a hug that night. I'm being kind to you. Boy, he up there, boy, his feet. That's all right. It's going to be all right. Verse 31. Everything that we're telling you is the reason why marriages fail. Let all bitterness. That's the reason right there. Marriage failed because bitterness enter in. One person get bitter toward the other, can't stand the ground they walk on. They got bitterness working in them. He said that all bitterness and anger and clamor, that's loud outcries. You know, talking loud, hollering and screaming. That's what clamor is. Loud, gonging noises where y'all shouting at one another, but ain't nobody hearing the other person. You just getting your point across. You see, all of these things is what work against a marriage. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So he says, don't do that. Make the decision not to be bitter, resentful, quick-tempered, anger, or to fight with your spouse. Rid your life of these poisonous emotions. I call these emotions poisonous emotions because they poison your relationship. If you don't destroy them, then they'll destroy you from the inside out. Verse 32, practice kindness, being tenderhearted, compassionate, and understanding, forgiving one another quickly and freely as Christ has forgiven you. In other words, don't hold grudges. Sometimes husbands and wives can't move forward because they are chained to the past. A past mistake, a past deed done that just never would just let it go. You can be talking about you don't like the color of the ice cream. And then all of the blue, here come that thing happened 20 years ago. You start out talking about you didn't like the color of the ice cream. You got to practice being kind, tenderhearted, and forgiving. Then verse 1 says, imitate God and walk in love, your first love. The Lord never wants you to lose your first love for him, and he never wants you to lose your first love for your husband or your wife. Like I said, you can fall in love with Jesus more than one time. You can fall in love with him over and over. And you can fall in love with each other over and over again. And this is how God wants you to live. Take these principles out of these scriptures right here and apply them to your life